Gabriel Krauss is a writer, analyst for the Institute of Race Relations. Gabriel, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Howard. How's it?
So we're living in interesting times. So we've had this whole debacle around the United States. It just got worse and worse, eventually with the removal of the South African ambassador to the United States. Things got even worse. We've seen the 49 farmers leaving yesterday. Where are we? Are we improving the situation between the relationship? We know that there's been all sorts of attempts to try and do so, but it's very, very difficult to try and understand what the current situation is. Can you give us a sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that in these international power plays, there are multiple moving parts colliding at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
One noteworthy thing is that Russia just celebrated the 80th anniversary of defeating the Nazis, and President Cyril Ramaphosa was not there at the parade in Moscow.
Right.
Other African and international leaders were, and I suppose that he would have been invited and that he would have rejected the invitation to say to the Americans, look, guys, we want to be friends with you. I think that is one of the various things you mentioned. Others, the South African government clearly wants to be on side with the U.S., and an important reason for that is to avoid personal sanctions against ANC leaders. It's very important to recall that the U.S. imposed sanctions against the Guptas when our government had sort of filed for papers for Interpol to arrest them, and then failed to renew the application, and there was a resignation in the independent directorate. So, you know, the Americans have already used targeted sanctions against unpopular crooks, and I think they feel excited about the idea of using targeted sanctions against ANC leaders. The ANC wants to avoid that, and so they've got some reasons to be nice, and then there's also a Goa. But within all of that, there is also the question of, okay, so we're trying to be friendly with them, but are they really helping? I'm not sure that this living in of refugees, the way that the U.S. is doing it, is really helping.
Yeah. So what can we expect? Because what we have seen is that as difficult as Trump and the U.S. might be, it does seem possible to turn it around fairly quickly. I mean, we're watching the whole of the Middle East flip-flop and seemingly go in a different direction in a matter of a few days. Surely it's possible to change it for South Africa.
Who would expect Iran seeming to be getting a better time under Trump than under Biden? Certainly not me, but that seems to be happening.
Yes.
I mean, I think that the sort of capricious, mercurial nature of the U.S. president is such that people think that there's deals on offer. But this is sort of my point. It's like, what I want from the South African government is a repeal of the Expropriation Act, because it threatens property rights. It's against AGOA. There's a direct U.S. interest, but it's really bad for South Africans. It undermines all of our property rights.
Right.
I don't really care particularly whether Ramaphosa goes to the Moscow parade or not. So the concern is that the concessions that the U.S. wants to extract are mainly to do with foreign policy, because that's their key interest. So the ANC or the South African government might be trying to play foreign policy games, maybe promising to soft pedal some aspects of their ICJ case, you know, things that are very important on the international stage, but that don't really change the prospects of ordinary South Africans. And I think one of the key concerns is that while the U.S. president is getting good political wins at home for him out of helping out white refugees, he's not really going to mind if the ANC keeps creating these conditions that satisfy his political interests. So, yeah, anyway, Howard, I guess what I'm saying is I agree with you that it's possible to do a deal with Trump. I'm not sure that that necessarily the deal is going to be best for South Africans that people are trying to strike here, and that should be the concern. Like what actually matters the most for us? Striking down the Expropriation Act.
Right. In other words, deal with the actual issue, and that is something that, to some extent, Trump has assisted us to focus on, because by the United States focusing on this and making it clear that from, you know, as I said to Joel Pollack this morning, it's easy, you know, there's the old adage that it's easier to read the label on the bottle from the outside. You know, we're inside the bottle, much harder to read it, because we also are often ghosted, and we're often told, and not ghosted, we are gaslighted. We're told that, you know, if we question something like expropriation without compensation, or if we question BEE, we're racist. And so that means we don't question it, even if we aren't racist, and even if we don't aren't coming at it from a race perspective, we've really been bullied into keeping quiet. When you have a power like the United States standing up and saying, "Hold on, guys, this is racist, and you know these laws are not acceptable," then it's almost given South Africans the permission to have these conversations locally. And really, that is what we should be doing, is deciding what is appropriate in terms of addressing the wrongs of the past. Maybe, and in doing so, I have no doubt that the ANC themselves will be held very, very wanting. 30 years later, we shouldn't be having, you know, in the situation that we're in, if things were done correctly and honestly. So perhaps that's the biggest gift we've been given, is to have these conversations internally, sort ourselves out before you know, looking at these foreign these other relationships.
I think there's truth to that. I think it's true that the US has helped a hell of a lot. It has also come at a cost with some distractions, and I think that the key risk to highlight here once again is just that if you fast forward 10 years, the Expropriation Act is implemented, properties are taken without compensation, we follow the Venezuelan model where first it's a few sort of farms that are underutilized, but eventually it means taking concrete factories, cement, you know, mines, etc. The country's integrity will be hard to maintain. The voices that call for secession, for breakup, the voices that call for racial enclaves, the flashback voices will continue to grow. And part of the concern with America's treatment of saying, "Look, we will help white farmers, Afrikaners under this racially indexed definition," is that it's already beginning to help that narrative along of like, the problem is South Africa isn't holding itself together, so let's help split it by singling out one race group as a particular victim. And that's our main criticism of the US treatment, is we say, look, all South Africans are victims of this. Like the Expropriation Act, the first group that it victimizes is 500,000 black South Africans whose properties are basically explicitly earmarked for expropriation without compensation because they're worth less than the government subsidies that have been put into them. But it's really all South Africans that are threatened by this, and it's all South Africans that together are going to have to do exactly what you were saying, which is have serious conversations about what have we done wrong, how can we rectify it, and you know, it's our firm opinion that that is going to be by, you know, upholding our constitutional values, non-racialism, strong property rights, great economic growth, and if we get those things right, our position in the world stage will be much easier to facilitate. It'll be good for them and good for us.